Admiring okay. Good flexibility.
Yeah. 8:45 on the clock. We'll call to order the meeting of the Board of Supervisors. We'll recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is posted on the east wall. Attendance by observation. Jurgens, Hill, Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Thiemann. Consent agenda. General agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held July 22nd, 2015. Approve all claims through August 5th, 2015 in the amount of $539,180.98. Accept claim listed below to R.L. Thiemann Construction to be voted on separately. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approved utility permit number 1027 Windstream, Nebraska, replacing 430 feet of bad cable, will be boring 6 feet below culvert for 370 feet and trenching in 60 feet of cable 4 feet deep in the south ditch in the northeast 4th section 5, Township 5 North, Range 8 East, Hooker Township. Approved utility permit number 1028 Windstream, Nebraska, Incorporated, replacing 378 feet of cable, 318 feet will be plowed in 4 feet deep in north shoulder, and 60 feet of cable will be ran in conduit attached to bridge in the southeast 1-4 section 22, Township 5 North, Range 5 East of Grant Township. Approved utility permit number 1029 Windstream, Nebraska, replacing 511 feet of damaged cable. Will be boring 6 feet below creek for 243 feet on south side of bridge and plowing 268 feet of cable 4 foot deep in the south shoulder of road in the northeast and northwest 4th section 34, Township 5 North, Range 5 East, Grant Township. Approved summary fee forecast report for the month of July 2015. Entertain a motion to approve.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion by Byer, second by Hill. Questions? Or comments? The one is later down here on a regular agenda, the Thiemann claim, so that's why that was listed separately. Vote 7-0. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 1508-0103 to R.L. Thiemann in the amount of $53,465.28.
I would make a motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
Motion by Jurgens and seconded by Byers. And this is for some of the rock and gravel, or gravel that we talked about the last couple meetings that the county, because of the weather, has not been able to haul, and Thiemann was the second bidder on that, so that is why they were contacted to haul that rock, and this is first part of that, hauling the claim for that. So,
Myron, to add a little bit to that, with the weather we had, the county's trucks were busy just hauling rock. Normally, and this is county material, normally the county takes care of all the hauling on the county roads within. But with all the extra work they had just getting rock to the townships as well that were washed out, as well as the county roads, getting them back into shape. This is something that Road and Bridge had discussed, and we said we won't have time to get it all done, so they went to the second in line on the bidding, and it was R.L. Thiemann Company that was there. Now, going back to, and we might discuss this later, but beans are on it right now, we just as well, the township gravel right now, where that's hauled by Rock-On out of the Ace Pit. The Ace Pit is out of material right now. They're relocating, so when they come back in production, is anybody's guess yet. So we should be hauling township material right now, but the place to haul it out of doesn't have it. We had discussion of possibly going to the second bid, which would be out of the Powell pit or the Alex pit, to get the gravel moving again on the township roads, because they need it, a lot of cases, more material on their roads. We just talked about it. Maybe by our next board meeting we'll have a better idea of where the Ace pit, when they'll come back online and produce. But otherwise, I would be in favor of doing the very same thing, starting on the gravel allocations for the townships, try to get them caught up, or we're going to be behind and we'll never get caught up again. So,
well, right now, we are trying to haul yet the spring allocation.
Right.
I believe there's one or two townships done or whatever, I think, at last news. So,
and with that being said, the other pit that we do get a lot of material from, the Powell pit out of Fairbury, I was told, I think by Eric, they're out of material usually by 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning. So everybody's looking for material. So,
more comments, questions, discussions? Vote. 6 in favor with Tiemann abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Seeing none, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and grounds.
Hey, Dave Jones, will you come forward, please? Can everybody hear? It is pretty noisy in the hallway. Did have an offer to close the door, but I said
can't.
No.
Yeah.
If anybody can't hear, we'll close the door.
Morning.
Dave.
Good morning. During our committee reports, we did talk about the stone repair, and that will be on the agenda today. Greg Dennis is coming down to explain what he would like to propose to the board as far as repairing stone on this southwest corner of the building. And then I had some work orders from the Sheriff's Department, replacing the 3 garage doors on the west side garage doors and replacing a few windows that have been giving us trouble with the rainwater is leaking in. And we had a issue with the kitchen over there. We do need to have the cupboard doors and drawers and everything repainted. And so we're going to get a bid on repainting the whole kitchen area for the jail. And that was pretty much what we talked about.
And we'll bring that back once we get some quotes on that repainting and what have you. Dave will bring us quotes to the committee, and we'll move forward from there. Thank you for all you do, Dave.
Thank you.
Equalization.
Everything's equal that I'm aware of.
Finance.
Just that we're going to start working on the budget. The first budget meeting will be on Monday, 3 o'clock. So we'll start drudging through that and keep people updated and work with Patty for evaluations and coming up with levies.
That's it. Want to update a little bit on, we had our wind farm group, we had a short meeting last night. Have another one planned yet. Still haven't set an informational meeting date. That will be forthcoming here at some time yet. Still trying to, I guess, narrow down our scope of where we're going to maybe make adjustments or changes. We have a good idea, but I guess there was a lot of discussion amongst our group last night, so I know there's a lot of discussion amongst the public out there, too. So, but
well, I think it's probably worthwhile, too. We can, I think, speak peripherally, even though we haven't prepared them yet. We're looking at setbacks.
Yeah.
We're looking at decibel levels. We're looking at how to deal with currently platted subdivisions, decommissioning process, and
the single single tower.
Oh, thank you. Piece of paper helps.
Yep. Yeah.
And then the single energy systems that people have outside of a wind farm, kind of a private use. So those are the things that we're looking at. And we discussed after additional meeting to kind of clean up some sort of proposals. We would have 2 public meetings in September. We had people come from the public and get that input, but we don't have those dates yet. But I think we're looking for a September date.
September. Now, I know it's taken a little longer than we thought, but it's you're finding out this is a really an issue that a lot of people have a lot of thoughts on, and both sides of it. So even last night in our little group that we had, there was some really good discussion.
Is there any differentiation between those vertical turbines like Terry was talking about and the prop-style turbines?
Vertical turbines.
There's those tube turbines or the vertical blade turbines instead of a prop.
Only the new style.
Yeah.
In Europe is just a round tube coming right out of the ground with like a pin, like you used to blow that, but they're swirled all the way down the pipe, so they don't have the outside props moving, and it's just that.
Don't have the inside. Decibel level either, I
right.
think.
You wouldn't have the noise or anything else in the generator, everything sitting right on the ground then. That's the new thing.
Yeah. I guess in our regulations, we're not talking about that having different guidelines or whatever, or different regulations, but whatever our county will have for regulations, as long as they meet them, they would sure be eligible too.
So I wonder if those will bother people less too.
Well, quite possibly not, and that's one of the reasons we're having both a setback distance and a decibel setback, is that if the technology improves and that decibel level goes down, well then that changes how far the decibel setback is.
I think also written in the regs would be that every 3 years they will be reviewed. So we'll go through this iteration every 3 years. Because I look back at when we first instituted these in 2010, things are significantly different now.
And one thing we haven't had much discussion of at all, but Lisa did bring up last night too, and that is solar. We don't have anything in here for solar regulations. And right now we're not planning on that or whatever, but her comment was that in the next few years that will become more of a, not an issue, but a topic or whatever.
Yep. Who all was there from Lancaster County Board?
Nobody from ours. I mean, at our meeting last night, it was Matt, I, and John, and then the group that we had in all the informational meetings up here in Cortland and Roca. That was who we had last night here. Okay. Lisa was here, and so was Dennis Rosine from the Planning Zoning Board.
I didn't know that Lancaster County was included in that.
No. Earlier, we were with them, and they are on August 19th is when they're having their public hearing up at their county board on August 19th. I can't remember, 5 or something like that, so we'll see how, I guess that one kind of comes out, because that one might give us an indication of maybe how many people will have show up for ours. So,
but Myra, I think it's fair to say that our regulations are not intended to mirror Lancaster County's population differences, land use differences, population density issues are different. And so they won't, I think there's, just because we were in the same meeting initially, there was an implication that we were going to mirror those, and I don't think that's the intent.
I don't see that we intend to be the same as them. You know, we will try and coordinate ours for our county, but at the same time, it was very informational to be at all those meetings and to see how they are developing theirs and what they're developing. And I know even the last meeting there in June out there in Kearney, we had a separate kind of meeting about all of the ones that have some or are getting proposals for some. They all came to and got to visit about what everybody's doing. So it's kind of interesting.
Good. Yes, I know they're very intense for all of that issue.
And certainly Lancaster County did a very good job of getting the information out there and presenting it. But in the end, we have to kind of adapt it to what fits Gage County, and they have to adapt to what fits Lancaster.
Good enough. The other thing is we do have on our agenda insurance or for our county, our employees insurance plan. They've Amber and them will be here for that for approval. Human resources.
Nothing.
Law enforcement.
All right. Before we start law enforcement, you want to take care of the 9 o'clock?
Oh, yes. Good. We do have a time event, 9 o'clock, a Veterans Honor for Russell Searcy. And Bill.
Ready?
Bill, we're ready. 9 o'clock. Yep. 9 o'clock on the clock, so we're ready for presentation.
Well, it's my honor and pleasure today to present to the board the nominated veteran, Russell Searcy. I'll read what Russell had written about his service. He was inducted into service in Fort Crook, Nebraska on 11-23 of 1942. From there, he was sent to Camp Adair, Oregon, in Eugene, Oregon, for basic training. After that was completed, he went to Camp Hayden, Arizona, for more maneuvers. and when he was finished there, he went to Camp Horn. Both camps were tents only. After 13 weeks of training, he was sent to Midway, California on the desert. Then we were moved to Camp Granite, California. This was a tent camp also. They stayed there not very long and were ordered to move to Camp Carson, Colorado in March of 43. Then they were sent to Camp Kilner, New Jersey. On August 26th, they went to the New York Harbor. They walked up the gangplank of the USS Lejeune for a trip across the ocean. He was with the Timberwolf unit at that time, and they were the first unit to depart the United States and go directly to France. So they were the first group to go over there and land directly in France. On September 26th, they arrived, and their unit marched 32 miles over roads composed of crushed rock. After we had already marched 25 miles, they marked up one long, steep hill, which wound round for over 3 miles. On October 15th, they marched to Lehaye de Puto Putas, which was another 13 miles of walking and carrying our gear, which was very heavy. His unit, the Timberwolves, liberated several concentration camps in Germany, and I will never forget the terrible sights that I had seen. Unbelievable what humans can do to other humans. The Nordhausen concentration camp had approximately 6,000 prisoners in it. When Russ's unit got there, 5,000 of them were already dead, and the other ones were laying among the dead, the 1,000 that were still alive. And he's got some pictures here I'll pass around. They do have an explanation on the back of what they were. We docked in Monterey for our trip home on July 3rd, 1945, at the Staten Island Pier, New York. We were transferred to Kilmer, New Jersey, and after 24 hours there, they went to their separate centers and had 30 days there. Afterwards, we were sent to Camp Luis Obispo in California. Russ says, before we were discharged, we were entertained by several movie stars, including Bob Hope, Betty Davis, and John Brown. They were discharged from there when they got enough points. Russ was sent to Leavenworth, Kansas, and discharged from the United States Army. He got home at 10 p.m. on the Liberty Train Depot, where his mom and dad greeted him. What a beautiful sight. He states in here that he was given the Bronze Star before being discharged. I guess I earned that star. I guess he did. He joined the Barnston American Legion in 1945 and paid his dues every year since then. And he's been a consecutive member for 70 years, when he was post commander during his younger years in the Legion. I'll go over a few things that I found out about his service. Some of the medals he received were the World War II Victory Medal, American Service Medal, European Service Medal, Good Conduct Medal, Bronze Star Medal, and the Combat Infantry Badge. He served with the 413th Infantry Regiment of the 104th Infantry Division, which was the Timberwolves. And there's a lot of history online you can find about it. I like looking up the history and seeing what I can find out about these guys. And when I pulled up the unit he was with, lo and behold, I got a whole list of all the people that were in his unit, including Russ Searcy. When he got out of the service, he was a master sergeant, so he really climbed up the ladder. Also, what I found was a photograph of his unit after they had returned from Europe. So at this time, I'd like to introduce Russ Searcy.
Would you like to say some words, Russ?
Hopefully I gave your history good, Russ.
Say anything? You can say something if you want to. Just say thank you. Yeah, that'd be fine.
You can take that out. Just say thank you.
Well, I doubt if any of these people knows what a concentration camp looks like.
You can tell them.
And people that were starved to death and all bones and some of them dead and when they was grounded laying on the floor, some of them were dead, kind of laying on the ones that was alive and the ones that were alive could not was not strong enough to move them out of the way so they could get them. It was something terrible. You can't believe it until you see it.
Do you want to say anything else? No. Okay.
I don't know of anything that happened to me when I was in the service is the reason I cannot hear, but it's just I think old age. I believe I'm older than most people in here. How old do you think I am?
Somebody take a guess.
89.
Yeah, quite a while back. I'm 94.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. And I forget how old I was when I went in, probably 21.
Okay, is that it?
And as far as that goes, I can only remember twice where I was really scared while I was overseas. One night, does anybody here know who Ben Jack Charlie was? No? Well, Ben Jack Charlie was an airplane that, well, like you see these airplanes around here that come around at night, I remember the one time I was scared, really scared, that Jack Charlie come over and all the ones, he must have dropped some kind of a bomb because the doors blew. I was in a brick house and all the windows come in and he drove off or he blew off and then there no boy but Ben Jack Charlie come over where we were where everybody was spending the night. He come over frankly every night. I suppose just trying to find something like he found that night. We figured out later why he dropped the bomb there. We went outside and there was a jeep with the windshield laying down and no canvas over it. So he had a good bright thing to. And I think I heard him, this guy say that, we walked 32 miles one time over Crush Rock, and that's no lie. That's the way it was. And, a lot of, I guess they were German people, was offering, well, maybe not, they might have been French people, just spending wherever we were. Offered us apples, and for some reason I wasn't hungry, and the ones that did take apples got kind of sick afterwards.
Anyone have any questions?
You know, I don't believe I've seen any of you people.
I think probably we've seen each other before, Mr. Searcy.
Yeah.
Dennis Byers.
He's seen you before.
And God bless you, Sergeant.
Okay, I can remember that name from somewhere.
Well, Mr. Searcy, we indeed thank you so much from the county for your service.
Well, I'm really thankful that you've done enough to bring somebody like me and other people up here.
Well, no, it's been an honor indeed for this board and our county to honor you people.
I was very lucky. I came out without a scratch and met a lot of friends, and you'd be surprised how many of them come to see me. I had one come from the state of Washington, and I went to see one. I was making a trip to the St. Louis to watch the St. Louis Cardinals play baseball, and afterwards I come all around to somewhere in Arkansas and just happened to remember an address of a guy. Then one time, and I was to
Dallas, Texas.
Oh, well, he was a freshman playing football.
Dallas, Texas.
What was the name of that town?
Dallas. Oh, I can't remember the name of the town.
Oh, north and east of Oklahoma.
I don't remember.
And I had accidentally run onto one just then one day. Have you ever been in Boston? As was my hometown here, and I was walking up the street, and a guy from across the sidewalk hollered at me, and there was friend and his wife on their way to Colorado, where the outfit was having a reunion. I don't know, I can't remember where he was from, but quite a ways away. And I have seen probably a half a dozen of the guys I spent 3 years with.
Okay, he was going to say something, so let him finish.
No, we just thank you very much. It's amazing some of the stories that we're hearing.
Well, I don't hear very good. What did you say?
He said thank you.
Thank you for your service very much.
Well, I appreciate that.
Our county really appreciates what all of our veterans have done, and it's indeed an honor to be able to honor some of our veterans for the years of service that you've put in.
I see that. Do you see I brought my great-grandson with me, and I have
raise your hand, young man.
I think I've got about five or besides him and three great-granddaughters. Well, I'll take that back. I think I just had another one born about a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, you want to go set?
And one other thing that I am really proud of, it, I've got a son sitting over there. Well, he's in the banking business in Lincoln and Kansas City. This guy's another son. He's in the banking business in Marysville, Kansas.
Let's go sit down now. Let's go sit down.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Thanks for having me here.
Thank you. And we have a plaque and a little token of appreciation what the board has put together for all of our honorees.
Mr. Searcy, on behalf of the county, I would like to give you this plaque and this small token of our appreciation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I'll hold it. Yeah. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Just one thing I'd like to mention is that the Timberwolf unit that he was with, when they landed in France, they started in combat, and they had 196 days of continuous combat until they were finally relieved and the war ended. So,
wow. Thank you.
Thank you, Phil.
He has 100 other stories, too.
I believe so.
At least 100.
I mean, that's if you're lucky, you get to eat rations and fight till you can't stand. These guys are 18 to 20 years old.
Pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, my God, I want to start balling.
Jesus.
We'll return to committee meetings. Law enforcement, emergency management.
We got several items coming up on the agenda that we'll discuss. And before I say that we don't have anything else to discuss in committee meetings, I should make sure that Tim doesn't want to talk about the Blue Springs Tower again. Okay. So unless somebody else has something they want to discuss off the board, I think we'll probably have plenty of discussion here later.
Road and bridge.
We've already, well, a lot of the discussion was over gravel. We had discussion about the TP road and the damage, and about FEMA money, if it would cover anything there. The grading crew started to regrade Turkey Creek Road by DeWitt because of the flood damage. Replacing some driveway tubes and reshaping the road and ditches. Galen estimated it'd take approximately 1 week. Our crew is working on that. Bridge crew has been working on storm damage sites, replacing tubes throughout the county. We settled with the insurance company on the wreck pickup. The amount we ended up was $5,500. We spoke about the gravel and the pit situation, getting gravel hauled. Galen had brought up some pictures of some cracks and tears in the overlaid roads that were overlaid last year during the bond issue, and he's addressed that with Mark up at Manelli's office, and we'll see if we can't get something done on that. There's a few places that are starting to show some signs of problem. So that was discussed, and other than that, that's probably about it, unless there's some of these things we'll discuss later, too. So
yeah, we have some things on the agenda, I think.
Yep.
Eric? I just wondered how the FEMA meeting went.
You want to comment on how the FEMA?
I wondered.
Oh, how the FEMA meeting went. You were going to, Monday afternoon, the city was going to have their, was going to meet with FEMA, remember?
Yeah, like it was a kickoff meeting, just basically kind of get organized. We met with some of the FEMA members that are going to be working our programs here in this area. Beatrice had well-documented pictures and information for them, and a lot of it was just to get a focus point on what they need to do for the next step. The guy who's leading it is going to be away from the area until I think the 11th, so then they'll come back and refocus. I think they'll come back, talk to you. They just kind of mentioned questions, some things about overtime and certain things like the emergency actions. Anything that was done by emergency, they would only pay for the overtime part of it, but then anything that's done for the long-term work, then hourly wages could be paid for that, and equipment, if I remember right, the equipment rate. They also had questions about the environmental and the historical part, you know, anything changes to that. The Corps was there, a representative of the Corps was there, or could answer for them. Was there also for any other questions that might have come up for any damages that might affect that? Just kind of get a kind of a little organization, and from that time on, then the clock kind of starts for Beatrice to get their stuff done. but it went real well.
But they are planning on coming back and having a meeting with the county.
Yeah, they have to come back for the townships, and then Philly is one that claimed, I can't remember, I don't have my list with me of who were all part of that. Barniston, I think, Wymore was part, and then of course, the museum was also part of that first kickoff.
Okay.
That we had with NEMA, that they were the applications, I guess the word is.
So this was specifically for Beatrice?
This was just for Beatrice. And then what they're trying to do is trying to get with the townships, get them kind of grouped up and work with them in certain areas that are kind of specific to those areas. It's going to be kind of hard to do, as we know township guys are pretty busy with other things going on too. But so we'll see what we can do with that. I'll spend time with, I'm sure, Galen. He's got a lot of information that he's got to give to him as well. And then...
did they touch base with you while they were here?
No. They didn't?
Not yet.
I didn't understand. This one was just for Beatrice. I thought this was for our...
They're going to do groups. Yeah. Wasn't going to do everybody. That'd take too long. We were in there for two, 3 hours discussing, so... All right.
Good enough.
And the only other thing for Roden Bridge, I didn't know if anybody checked on Ace Pit to see what they had for how they were doing on that spoil pile. Did you ever talk with Dan, see how they're doing with that spoil pile? Is that getting close? Or?
I talked to Dan on Monday afternoon. I gave him a call and asked how he's coming on getting ready to start pumping again. He did have his motor repaired that was shut down. I believe it was the barge pump motor on that. I asked him when he planned on getting pumping and actually starting. He said he was had a few more things to tinker on. He says with no unforeseen break-ons, he did plan on getting started pumping again this week. So unless something happens that he's not aware of, hopefully... He said he'd have her going this week. So, and I'll check with him again on later on, either tomorrow or Friday, to see if he is pumping. So,
be good. Next up on agenda, Greg Dennis with Masonry Construction.
Yes.
Dave, and could you give your name and your...
Yes, Greg Dennis with Masonry Construction. I'm out of Bellevue, Nebraska.
Yeah, either you or Dave can go ahead and explain what's going on. So go ahead.
Yes, last year we were here and we did some repairs on the east side. Did some cathedral stone patching, some tuck pointing, and we completed that in about two to three weeks on that repair project. And then we know there's so much removal and replacement of stone and mortar that's... The mortar basically in the building is too hard. Somebody repointed it at one time, and it's Portland mortar. So that Portland mortar is cracking the stone below that as it gets harder. It's putting little cracks in the top of the stone, and water's getting in there, and the whole face of the stone is then coming off, or portion. Sometimes we'll go up there and it'll be something the size of a golf ball, and you'll think it's little, but once you get up there and start playing with it, the whole face falls off. And the building also has a sealer all the way around it. It's completely sealed, and that has to be taken off first because that's holding all the moisture in. So the building really can't breathe, and the mortar's too hard. So what I did was took an area on the south elevation and said, okay, we'll propose this designated area and basically go in there and remove all of the mortar, take off the sealer, remove the sealer, and repair the stone and repoint it with a much softer mortar, a lime mortar, which was more traditional when this building was built. And by doing that, I think we can define an area and kind of know as we go. The stone repair is really hard to say how much is until you're up there. We take one area at a time, do that area, and see if we can get that completed and see how long that takes. And I'm anticipating probably 4 to 5 weeks to get it done. And there's a lot of stone repair on the top of the stone that needs to be done. But try and take that one area, and then for the future work, we'll know more what we have to do on the building. And it's really from the top, the very top of the wall, to the lower limestone. The limestone, the first floor is in good shape. That really doesn't need anything done to that. So I just figured from there up, which would basically be the second and third story.
And you're hoping to start this?
This fall. Thinking September. We could get on it in September and start with it. And we're thinking about using, we have a rack and pinion scaffolding that basically runs on 208 three-phase power that we could hook into and go up the building without bringing the big lift in. And you can get more guys on the deck and get three or four guys working, get it done quicker.
So there won't be scaffolding, a permanent scaffolding there for
No, it'll just time. No, nothing permanent. And I think over time, you know, we'll get, as we, you can't do all the areas. Obviously, the clock tower and some of those taller areas are going to take something different, a lift. And also, I guess somebody mentioned, which is a good idea, we talked about maybe looking at going around the entire building, because this could take time at this rate, and maybe look at removing the sealer. Because if this takes several years to do, or you spend so much money a year, that sealer is going to continue to work on the stone and deteriorate, and there'll just be more patching and more money to spend later. So I think that's probably something to look at also.
Hopefully once you get done with this area, this first kind of area, we'll have a better idea, or you will too. I mean, you'll have a better handle on what, maybe how to proceed.
Yes.
I know we as a board, and Denny's brought it up, that when the courthouse got remodeled, nothing basically was done with the outside, nothing with the limestone.
Right.
They were aware at that time that there were some issues with that, and as we look for, I mean, as we look more into it, we find out that, yes, there's definitely some issues with it.
Mm-hmm.
So we do need to have a plan going forward, or do work on this going forward, or it's not going to get any better. It's deteriorating.
Right. Yes.
Well, I think it was very clear as he made his explanation, as Dave's been working with them relative to this issue. We aren't absolutely positive what we're going to find. Yeah. And so getting in there, and it is quite a little money, but going in on the south side, we're going to learn a lot about what the rest of the building is going to need, and then we'll be able to tell what we'll need to do as we go forward. But we discussed it with Finance Committee and Building and Grounds, so I don't know. Matt, did you have anything relative to?
Well, I just had a question related to the sealer. If we know that that's an issue and we may not be able to do all the repairs soon enough, is there any cause to go through and try to remove the sealer sooner than later, knowing that we're not going to get an opportunity to go around and do some of what's proposed?
Yes,
here
I think
phase.
That's a good idea.
Something to maybe expedite getting the sealer off, knowing that...
Yes, there's two different ways we can go. We can bypass that repair that we're doing now and look at taking the sealer off the entire building, or both. Or looking at doing the repair here and then taking the sealer off.
That, I guess that would be my discussion, is do the repair here, but also try to get that sealer off, because as we go around the building, by the time you end up over there, there may be so much more damage, it could be a lot more extensive than what we're going to see here by the time we get there.
Yeah, because it's so big. At this rate, we're going here with that one area taking as much time as it's going to take. Obviously, this could take,
Well, we could approve this and then bring...
Years.
We could approve this and then have you bring back a figure on what it would
yes.
take to go ahead and start on the other, and then put that into next year's budget.
Is the sealer removal just a wash?
Pardon?
Is the sealer removal just a wash?
I tried that over on this east elevation just using hot water, and I got some of it off. It's so deep in the stone I had to use a chemical to do it.
But it's a chemical wash
yes.
to pick it up. We had talked Monday possibly. This is kind of specialized work. Maybe having someone local just to help us help us do some of that stuff and then have you focus on repairs like this. This isn't a budgetary number, or this isn't a not to exceed. This is just a flat rate for this area.
Yes, that's what I basically did.
The
only thing is the stone. I mean, if we get in there and there's bigger stone repairs, there's a lot on top, but you can see that. But if we find anything behind that, there may be additional issues. But
I talked to Dave about that. That's the only thing that I'd be nervous about, is blotchiness or patchiness, because the way I understand, you'll remove that facing that we actually see and then put some type of Fox stone or a mix in there.
It's a cathedral stone product, yes, for patching limestone.
But it's a bag mixed stone repair?
No, it comes in a bucket. It comes from Boston. You actually have to go out there and take training to install it. And they've done Statue of Liberty. I mean, most things back east are done with that product. And it turned out as very breathable, cementitious, it matches what you're going into. But on this side, unfortunately, and I talked to him from Cathedral Stone, the color is kind of dark on the patch. And they said maybe because of the sealer, the air and everything is breathing through those patches, and maybe that's why they're still dark. So hopefully I can get some of this sealer off, and then I'm going to do some new patches and try to get a different color. But we do have a way to repair those over there.
I think that was one of the bigger things, you know,
yes.
Because this is really, this is all for aesthetics, you know.
I agree, and I don't like what that looks like, but I can fix that. Because I just ordered, they call it a silane kit from Cathedral Stone. When you have patches, and these things, they're so particular. You can have weather, humidity. We've done them where they're seamless, and you look up there, and you can't even tell what you did. Half of a gargoyle or something is perfect, and then you have something like this come out. Because I was up there when we put the product in, and we were taking it off. It was a dead match. Because I was holding the sand in my hand, yet it didn't come out. So this kit will fix that.
Well, I think it's important that we make note that the Gage County Courthouse is being treated exactly like the Statue of Liberty.
Yes, yes, that's right. So we can do that. We'll fix that. We'll be sure before we start here. I'm going to do some, again, some new patches today that we don't have this happen on this side.
That's what we have talked about, and Greg has been very concerned. I've sent him pictures, especially with the amount of rain we had this year, it just seems like they will get really dark when there's a lot of moisture, either humidity or rain, and they just never really lightened up.
Well, and those patches also are unsealed, so when your water is going in, it's going in into the stone, which it's supposed to do, and then breathe and come out. You shouldn't have you don't need a sealer on it. Another sealer doesn't have to be there. So maybe when the water is getting in, it has nowhere to go, so it's breathing through those patches. It's possible. He said it's happened before. He being a guy from Cathedral Stone, they're experts. So
one other question I had was on the tech pointing. If you go back with a lime mortar, mm-hmm. Is that work all right with the Portland-based mortar that be still
this
inside?
Behind it? Yes, basically we go in there and we take out 3/4 of an inch of the existing mortar, and then we use a mushroom, a type N mushroom, a small percentage of that because you want something that's going to stay in there. Typically, straight lime is not really good for Nebraska, but that's the way this was built because you didn't have Portland until 1920. So it was basically lime. So we use basically the lime mix, Autobine lime. It's a hydraulic lime, and then we'll add some mushroom to it to give it that color and give it a little more stability, like maybe 10% of that 90% lime. But it will stick once it's in there.
Are these Nebraska mushrooms?
No. They're the same color, though.
Yeah. Okay, just wanted to check.
And we did a pretty good match in the color before. Seemed like it turned out well on the mortar. Yeah.
I have not done research. I don't know when the last time the building was repointed, but it's been quite a while. I do know that.
Yeah. And unfortunately, it did the whole building. I mean, it's just as far as I can see, all the way up the clock tower and everything. Whoever did it did 100% of the building and the sealer, too. But yeah, I'm open to that. If you want to have somebody look at, you know, removing the sealer, you got to be
potentially
careful.
Possibly.
Yeah, because it's chemical dealing with your windows and stuff. But I'm open to that. You bet.
Any more questions? If not, we have on take a motion to approve or disapprove quote from Masonry Construction Incorporated in the amount of $43,313 to do repairs on the outside of the building, beginning with the southwest side.
I would move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Byers and seconded by Thiemann. Vote. 7-0. 7-0.
All right.
Thank you. Keep in contact with Dave.
So. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you. Next on the agenda is introduction of the new communication director. Bruce? Chris?
I just want to know why the chief doesn't have a tie on today.
Well, because the chief forgot it.
Okay, all right. I understand that.
Bruce Lang, Chief of Police. I want to introduce to you today Chris Moore. He is the new 911 Southeast Nebraska Regional Dispatch Director. And with the current contract, he will now be providing a service for the county as far as your communications needs. We've already identified lots of needs, lots of issues. We have a very complicated system of that's been developed over the years involving voters and repeaters and pagers, and what we've learned is that they're not working very well, and if you have multiple vendors involved, they like to point their fingers at each other and say it's that guy's problem. Chris has an extensive history in both communications and a regional concept, as well as radio maintenance and radio repair. Is able actually going to be able to do a lot of this himself. I'm going to let him talk a little bit more about that. But we think he's, I know he's a good fit for the regional dispatch center, and I think he'll do a good job for you all as well in helping work through some of these problems that neither you nor I are really that comfortable talking about. So with that, I'll introduce Chris here.
Thank you.
You bet.
Good morning, members of the board. It's finally a pleasure to meet all of you, and I appreciate the opportunity to be up here in front of you today. And I know we've got a little ways to go, and we're going to address everything that you folks are all concerned about. I always have an open-door policy, so if you have any concerns, comments, criticisms, or other, you're more than welcome to voice those and stop by or give me a call, and I'll come over and speak with you folks. But I really didn't have a whole lot prepared today. I know that I've been invited to come to some of your communications meetings, and I look forward to doing that. I look forward to participating in all your departments, be it fire and EMS in the county or your other departments, to try to make this more public safety communication-friendly county. So I've, like he said, I have a pretty extensive background. I started out about 25 years ago in the fire and EMS agencies in a small town called Red Oak, Iowa. And then I moved over to I got involved in law enforcement there as well, as a law enforcement officer. And then I moved over to Mills County, and then I with the Sheriff's Department there, and got into the dispatching part of things, and then moved up to Pottawatomie County, where I spent 23 years with the Sheriff's Office there in the Division of Communications, anywhere from a dispatcher to supervisor, quality assurance training, and center manager. And in the end of my career, I took care of all the $20 million radio system that interfaced with Douglas, Washington, and Sarpy County. So I have quite the boat to draw from, and I look forward to working with all you folks.
Pottawatomie basically includes all of Council Bluffs.
It is, right? Yes, yep. Yeah. Council Bluffs and all the other 14 towns that are within the county.
Yep. No, thank you very much, you and welcome. And the only other comment I'll make is I see the City Council approved the contract between the county and the city, too, on Monday night. So it's all done for the year. Right, yeah. So we won't have no more issues going forward or questions, and yeah, you hope not. Yes.
Good luck, and we're always hoping to communicate and visit with you anytime you need that. We would appreciate you talking to us, and we're glad to do that.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Y'all. Welcome.
Nice meeting you.
Next, approve or disapprove a sub-grant agreement between Gage County and Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services Division of Children and Family Services Child Support Enforcement Program, and approve or disapprove having chairman sign agreement and audit requirement certification. The purpose of the agreement is to account for the work of the clerk of the district court. The sub-grant is effective from 10-1-2015 through 9-30-2016.
I would move to approve the subgrant agreement between Gage County and Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services Division of Children and Family Service.
Second.
Motion by Byers and seconded by Lytle. Now, comments, I guess. Roger?
Basically, it's a very similar contract to what we have in the past. There's a couple little things dealing with audits, and that just is set by the law. I mean, quite frankly, it's one of those contracts that we could discuss it with them. If you think we're going to change it, well, we're both being silly. But again, it's something that reimburses our county for some of the work, which Diane Wells does as part of being the clerk up there. And we'll have a similar agreement after this one dealing with the county authorized county attorney. So have no problem recommending that you go ahead and pass this, approve this contract.
Just wondering, where's this sub-grant come from? Or where's this money come from?
basically it's the federal government coming through HHS and the state.
Just making sure that we want the money?
Well, this is one of those things I can say, truly, Diane does a lot of work dealing with child support and issues like that, and this is a way that the federal government, through HHS, reimburses the county for that extra time and, quite frankly, manpower that's needed to keep track of all this stuff. So,
and this is huge. If you start crunching the numbers, if you don't have these agreements and have the people that we have to enforce child support, these people start coming to the emergency room at the hospital. They come and they can't pay their taxes. They can't pay daycare. All of the issues that come with this, with it, if they don't have enforcement on this child support, it can just get huge as far as cost is concerned. So this we need to do.
Vote 7-0. Next, approve or disapprove sub-grant agreement between Gage County and Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services Division of Children and Family Service Child Support Enforcement Program, and approve or disapprove having chairman sign agreement and audit requirement certification. The purpose of the agreement is to account for the work of the county attorney. The sub-grant is effective from 10-1-2015 through 9-30-2016.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Bauman and seconded by Lytle.
We need an accounting of your work.
This is Mr. Kravitz, through the authorized attorney. He does all the child support in Gage County, has for a number of years. And it's a very good relationship because he does a terrific job with that, as he does in other counties too. But by keeping detailed records and submitting the reports, we get a reimbursement on that from the federal government through the state. So, again, I would this is very it's identical to the ones you've had in the past. So, I would recommend the board approve it.
One other question: how much money is this? How much money is reimbursed? I didn't have a dollar amount.
I don't know, but I think part of that, like almost half of the salary of the one employee that he has, mm-hmm. And it may be more than half now. That
I mean, any of it
is a child support.
Yeah. Any of it adds up, but I just didn't know how much it actually was.
I don't know why $50,000 is sticking in my mind, because it is significant. And they go through. There's a note here about audits. They come through and they will. You know, Diane submits reports, and so does Mr. Kravitz, and the state goes through those. And we usually end up sitting down and talking about things. Sometimes there's a little adjustment. And we actually have a third party that comes in. And
Maximus comes in, yes. Then, and they'll audit to get further funds. And we'll have an agreement with them down the road again. Yeah. I know he can use, I think, some of the funds for computer, things like that, too. But it has to go back to those type of purchases.
Software program. I can get you an exact number.
I just wondered, you know, just out of curiosity.
It's well worth the time it takes to put the reports together and submit them, and there's some interplay between the state and Steve's office, as well as with Diane. I know Diane has to sit down. She puts a lot of time in that, keeping track of those records and stuff. And
it's good practice anyway, but, yeah, every little bit helps.
Yeah. Okay. Vote 7-0. Approve or disapprove health insurance plan for Gage County employees. Yeah, and they're not here yet. That's what I thought. I looked out there and okay. That we'll do that later. Approve or disapprove interlocal cooperation agreement to join Southeast Nebraska Development District. Well, there they are. We're going to put them right on. By the way,
finally.
We're going to go with the other one here first. Approve or disapprove interlocal cooperation agreement to join Southeast Nebraska Developmental District, or SEND.
This would be just a continuation of what we already are.
And based on the information I received, they've got the resolution and the agreement. So I'm not sure what the purpose is, but they have for both. So.
Well, I would move to approve the interlocal cooperation agreement. Can we make the motion in one motion?
It's two different.
Okay, we'll just do that. Approve.
Motion, we need a second.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Hill. And this is with it's called SEND, S-E-N-D-D.
Yeah,
Nebraska Developmental
District.
Eric is our representative for that board.
They do a lot of good stuff there. It's pretty broad.
Yeah.
Looking at a lot of small communities trying to help develop disadvantaged type areas and individuals. They really do quite a bit. I'm still learning what all they do, but there's something new every day, every meeting we go up to. Some of it is too smaller communities, say a Virginia or something like that, where they don't have people to help file things. They'll actually act as their agent and help file things for them, where an individual wouldn't be able to do that on their own. So, I mean, just doing that, they have a lot of agreements with the small towns to act as that agent or even, you know, just rural areas, they act as that agent for individuals.
Vote 7-0. Going to do the resolution now. Two. Approve or disapprove resolution to join Southeast Nebraska Developmental District. I'd like the onset date.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Thiemann, seconded by Byers. Vote 7-0. Now we'll go back up above here. And we have on the agenda approve or disapprove health insurance plan for Gage County employees. And name and what you kind of do or address or whatever.
I don't like to give my address.
I don't know if he had an address, but we'll try to find a home for him sooner or later.
Did you say what you kind of do?
Well, he talks. Other than that, he has to explain.
Well, thank you. At least I can do that. As you know, I'm Brad Swigert, and Lowell and Amber and I are here representing Northwestern Mutual Strategic Employee Benefits. And currently have had for several years your health plan, and we had an opportunity recently to meet with Myron and Eric and Don and Denny to kind of go over your current plan. And we did a brief recap here that we'll just spend a second and go over and then answer any questions you might have. First of all, just on your plan specifics, just as a reminder, your reinsurance contract is a $45,000 deductible, and that's not a change. And the employees are responsible for $500 deductible, 80-20 after that, with a $2,500 max out-of-pocket. Office copays $20, and prescription three-tier, $10, $30, and $50. On the renewal overview, we talked about several things and came up with a couple potential changes. The first thing is we were able to lock in the final rates on 9-1, which we did when we found out what the fixed rates were, because it's a decrease of about 0.36%. And the max liability decrease with your self-insured portion could be as much as about 12% over the next calendar year. The plan is running about $50,000 better this year than last year, and so that's part and parcel of why the rates are reflecting to what they are. We talked about some changes that are mandatory, and we'll go over those just briefly. Same-sex spouses will be eligible for insurance plan. That is, that's not an option. That was mandated under health care reform. Autism, because of the State of Nebraska action, will be covered. as a treatment disorder. The coverage is capped at $70,000 for first 3 years of treatment and $20,000 per year until the patient reaches age 21. That was legislative action that took care of that. And I know Denny's been real active in that over the years when he was in that position, getting that moving in that direction. Autism is a great concern and a big issue now. Prescription copays will apply toward the employee's out-of-pocket maximum. Prior to this year, the copays accumulated and the prescriptions did not, the office copays. Now both will count toward their out-of-pocket maximum. So we talked with the group about monitoring this over the next year on a potentially possibly raising your max out-of-pocket from maybe $2,500 to $3,000 or $4,000, whatever you might want. And let me explain how that works. In the past, when you went in and paid your office copays and your prescription copays, those were just an out-of-pocket expense to you, and they didn't accumulate. Of course, they didn't accumulate ever toward your deductible, but they didn't accumulate toward your out-of-pocket. Now they do. So using an example, let's say somebody's got $100 a month of copays. They're going to have a $1,200 advantage per se in the next year as compared to how it was in the past toward their max out of pocket. That costs you directly because of how your plan works. So we didn't, as a group there, as our small group, we didn't think it would made that this was a time necessary to increase the max out of pocket, but something to watch over the next year. And so does anybody have any questions on that? Kind of understand how that works. And we talked about something that was recommended amongst the group to make a change, and that's you had 20 physical therapy visits per year maximum. And that's for physical, occupational, and speech therapy in a calendar year. We changed that to 45. We've got down 45 now. I thought it was 40. Yeah, we talked about both, but we kind of agreed on 40, but you have 45 in here.
We did.
But I think we talked about 40, right? We decided on 40, so that's incorrect there. And the purpose for that is as most of you know, if anybody that's experienced that, while 20 or 40 both seem like a lot, it really isn't. And we do have some situations where that if you get to that max of 20, it causes a real problem for the employees. So that should be 40. And that was really the only change after meeting that day that we came up with, and we talked about some other things too, which we'll talk about in a second. But does anybody have any questions on any of this?
Brad, I didn't remember after that with the physical therapy. What happens after your allotted visits? Are you paying for that out of pocket then completely, or does that just go towards?
Well, it'll go toward the max out of pocket,
and then insurance.
And then
will
have
after
to,
that again. Then, so it, that's not the maximum number of times you can go. That's just
no. That's the maximum number of paid, but it can be quite a financial hardship if you end up having to pay for many of those, and that 40 should cover. That's pretty.
It would be very, very unusual to go over that 40, but it can happen. It can happen.
And if it's ever happened, Denny's had it happen to him. And so since he's on the plan now, we went, no, I'm just kidding. I didn't have anything to do with it. I made that up. I don't want to say this is easy, but it's much easier than coming in and saying we have a 12% increase. And one of the things we'll say between Don's office and Amber and Lowell in particular, I don't do much of the day-to-day administrative things. I think we have a good working relationship, and we want to also schedule, if you want to, and the committee talked about that too, having that annual sponsored luncheon again this year. We think that's good, and then we can answer any questions, and Gary can get up and tell people, now, don't complain to me, complain to them. He did the, and I don't say that for those of you that weren't there, the first time we had one of those, nobody wanted to say anything, and Gary got up and said, now just a minute, guys, you're calling me with these complaints, talk to these guys about them, and kind of opened it up a little bit. And we want to have open communication with them.
Yeah, it's been good.
So, because calling you noon on Saturday with a complaint really doesn't resolve anything because you don't know how to help them either. So, any questions?
But if you do get a call at noon on Saturday, just refer them to Gary.
Yeah.
And I'll call Don.
So, do you want to move on that, Myron, or do you want to wait till we talk about one other thing? I mean, on the approval, I don't know how you want to. We had one other thing to talk about. We brought down the information just for you to take a look at on Elective Vision, and we'll give that to Don. And give you the copies to Don that it's something that.
But that's not, at this point, going to have anything to do with the plan itself. And I think I would move to approve the health insurance plan for Gage County employees. And we are very pleased with everything that we've received and everything going forward as far as the committee's concerned.
And now,
make that motion.
That's what we're changing the physical therapy to 40 from 45. Right. That's the way it's supposed to be. Okay.
Yeah, that bottom line there, instead of 45, it'll be changed to 40, yes.
Second.
Motion by Byers, second by Lytle. Any more questions or comments? Eric?
I was just thinking it'd be nice if we could go ahead and lock in for a lower rate for next year also.
Well, you're new, Eric, so you haven't learned that. It doesn't work that way.
No, our county's been very fortunate to have the plan that we've had and the help with all of it too, and we've had some real good success with it in our county, and we're thankful for that. So, vote 7-0. Now go ahead.
Okay, I'll just give these to Don on this elective, and maybe that's one of the things if we can talk to. You guys about if you want us to maybe, broach that subject in that luncheon. And that's worked very well. And so we need to schedule that. I guess we don't need to do it right now, but did you figure out some potential dates, Don? We'll work with Amber on it and figure it out and decide if we're going to have it out where we did last year and so forth and go from there.
Sounds good.
Good.
Okay. Any thank questions? You. Thank you.
We want to thank you. Amber is very great to work with. She is.
Okay.
Sweetheart.
Did you forget Lola and I, Denny, on purpose? Or?
Maybe so.
Please note that for the paper.
Discussion on the purchase of server and fiber optic needs for the Sheriff Jail Department. Doug, I guess Doug or Dave or not Dave. No, Doug. This is Gus.
We had talked in the committee meeting kind of just about what the need was and the condition of the current state of the server that we have, and so the quote and everything that we had due to the nature of its current condition and how necessary it was to get this done right away. We went ahead and signed everything and got it sent off ready for the server. And what it basically does is it relocates the current older server that we have that is on a day-by-day basis to see whether it's going to stay alive or not, and relocate it over here to the controlled environment in the server room at the courthouse so that new fiber optic is necessary, of course, because that old fiber optic won't carry the capacity. So that includes the new fiber optic for that running in the current conduit that exists from the sheriff's office already to the courthouse, and they would test that before they began, that it says in that agreement. So that would also, I think, that included the video storage and stuff for the sheriff's office for the court cases and stuff that we have for prosecution for the county attorney's office and things with our in-car and body-worn cameras and everything are included in that. So it leaves room for additional pairs in there
for fiber optic, if there's anything future that's needed and stuff. And I had just a little quick discussion with Dave on that. You know, if there's consideration through the building and grounds, if we, you know, how that is, if there's a cost share or we pay part of it, building grounds, we don't really know how that'll come out. I guess that Dave can maybe discuss that with his committee and see if there's some consideration in that, because the sheriff, he had worked up this agreement and stuff, and him and Julie had worked on it mostly, and he's absent today, so I don't really have much more information on that part of that for you, but... That's.
And Julie was here Monday morning in our committee meeting and also expressed the need for this.
It's having to be manually backed up every day and stuff, and it takes, I forget how many hours she said, if it takes most of a day to back that up the way it's going currently, and she loses a lot of sleep over that. So this should help her sleep, you know, now that we get this new server. But.
Yeah, what she indicated to us on Monday, just for everybody's to remind everybody, was that it's taking 24 hours to do that manual backup, and she was already starting the second one before the first one was done. The day prior was still running as she was starting the second one. So,
yeah, there isn't much room. There's a few gig left or something on there, I think, and then it overwrites, you know, older stuff. But we everything from clear back into our point we started keeping electronic records, you know, is on that, and so. When you get a new server, all that information has to go into that new server to keep those records. So then when you replace it, I mean, it just kind of builds on itself. So the capacity doubles every time, you know, you do that. Beyond that, plus new existing stuff for that year. So,
and then also she mentioned that just last week, I think it was, that MIPS had done some work on it to make sure that this thing kept functioning for,
yeah.
She sounded like maybe 3 weeks. So it's kind of
duct tape and some baling wire, I think it was, or
yeah,
something, and
yeah.
Chewing gum. It's on its last leg, so
right.
It needed to be done, but it's unfortunate that it has to be, but
just
that's about 5-6 years old, I think she said, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So
now the server's not on this bid. Is that was a... something else you guys already took care of, and then this was just something else you were bringing for?
This is just Myron wanted just the discussion in general for the board, just to kind of make everybody aware. It's an existing budget item that the sheriff put into his new budget, but it's to the point where it couldn't wait, you know, until the budget's approved to get it done. So.
This is not part of the courthouse security that
right.
We've been talking about.
No,
the server is on here. I mean, the server, MIPS gave us a proposal for the server price based on current pricing and $9,975.
MIPS.
There's three separate things, I think.
They gave us a bit of networking and storage total of $9,865, which is a bunch of other... a lot of words in there. And then Kidwell has given us a bid also of $8,875, and that is a proposal to run the fiber optic
right.
line from the sheriff's office over to the courthouse. So,
yep.
And a total then here, the proposed total was $28,715.50.
And I think it should be in part of the sheriff's budget. I think that should be going through the sheriff's. You agree, Matt?
Well, that's why we wanted to have the discussion, was because we hadn't approved the budget yet. It was a bigger item if it had been approved in the budget, but because, like every other government entity, we spend money we haven't planned for yet because of the time in which we approve our budget. We just thought we'd have the discussion. So,
and like they said, this isn't anything new. This is just maintaining equipment that they have that needs updated
and relocating the server over here to the more secure, controlled environment versus, you know, in the basement. So,
Did you just say that the courthouse is more secure than the sheriff's department?
I would say that, yes, for that particular area.
Dawn's tougher than anybody.
Actually, it's a little surprising. Several years back, everything was brought to the server here. It's actually kind of surprising that it wasn't already centrally located here to begin with. So, I mean, this is something that just needed to be done. Now, as far as building and grounds, if there was anything that should be considered, the fiber optic running from over there to over here, if there was any consideration for buildings and grounds, that That would be the one thing I would throw out there that could be considered.
There would be maybe some potential future uses. You know, I know that they're looking at the video arraignment and stuff, and currently that was in consideration of that. However, it looks like they're going to be doing that up more of an internet-based thing now. So the jail director had a conversation with Judge Korsland earlier in the week about that. They're going to try that first through him and see if there's any bugs that get worked out and that type of thing, and then move over to county court with that. So,
good.
Any more questions or comments or on the server and fiber optic? We'll move on to the next discussion on the security cameras, and I'll start out a little bit here. We did last week, I think we approved, or last meeting we approved for a new David. The new client for, and Dave, you can come up and talk too, but $5,000, and since then Dave's had a conversation with our individual in Omaha and found out that that's not really going to probably solve our issue. So
I wanted to bring this to the board's attention. When I did talk to Phil Fenton, we talked earlier about replacing more than just that client, and when I told him we did have approval to get the client computer for screening station, he said, that's fine, we can do that. But he said, I want you guys to know that that might not take care of all the problems. And the reason for some of this confusion is Centrex was never involved with when we did put the security station up there. We've kind of added that onto it, and we actually had that on a wireless router, and now it is being hardwired, which should help a lot. And we did check the service of that computer, and it is constantly always running at 100%, so it's probably trying to push more than 100% of information to those from the cameras to that screening station. So he goes, I know this will help, but he just kind of wanted to forewarn us that it might not take care of all the problems. And I don't think he really knows until we do hook it up and see exactly what's going on, because there has been some changes with it. So, and I should say, he's actually on vacation. I did not know he left on vacation towards the end of last week, so we do not have any updated information as of. I know we've talked to Brian Davidson about, you know, what is his absolute necessity if he does add some cameras and things like that, and so we don't have any new information.
So we'll have more discussion at our next committee meeting,
yes,
and see where we can maybe go from there. But
yes.
Just let everybody know that we did. We tried to, Dave called me even, we tried to go ahead and order that client, and he told us what was going on maybe, and I talked to Denny and we said, no, go ahead and order it, and then he still talked and said, no, you guys may want to relook at this, so.
When's that going to come in?
I have not ordered it yet.
No.
I wanted to hold off and
make sure we know where we're going and what we're doing.
Yeah.
And now that it is hardwired, Brian does have a lot better service up there. It's more just a few individual cameras that he looks at a time. He still has troubles a lot of days when he's trying to look at all of them. So,
I guess the one thing I'd say is the reason we voted to go ahead and order it was because that was an item that we knew we were going to need no matter what. So why don't we just go ahead and order it and have it here.
And, he did say if we did not do any upgrading, the computer that he did price us is for a larger amount of cameras. He said if you don't upgrade, he could actually downsize the price of the computer, but then that would not lead to any further upgrades. So
we have that discussion at the last meeting that we wanted to go ahead and stay with the bigger computer because of the possibility of adding cameras in the future, I think was the discussion that we had.
Yeah, how much difference was there in those? I mean, it seems like you always run into capacity issues.
Yeah.
As you go forward.
But mainly I did want to just bring this up again. I hate to, when we would get this, and then if we do have any problems, I appreciated Phil Fenton bringing it to our attention that he's glad to do it, but he doesn't know for sure at this time yet if we're going to fix everything. I know it will fix a lot of problems, though, because if that one is running at 100% at all times, that this should help a lot with that.
I think, like Gary said, though, that's kind of what we said.
That's kind of what we talked about. And maybe, you know, but he had something, I know, I can't remember exactly, because you visited with me, because Denny and I both said, no, go ahead and order it. But he had something with wanting to, I don't know if you get a different price or what, but ordering more, if we were going to go with more things, to order them all together. But I forget exactly what you told me then.
It was pretty much just the size of that client upstairs, I think, was what he was trying to stress.
We'll have to visit. Go ahead, Gary.
Dave, is there any chance that Phil can come down to the committee meeting on Monday, 2 weeks from Monday?
I bet he could. Yeah.
Either committee meeting or board meeting. Yeah.
I think either Monday or Wednesday, one of the two or both. Or
whatever would work for him.
Yeah, that would be great. And that's trouble I always have. I am not up on this at all. I hate to speak on somebody else's behalf on that. So.
We need to wait for the city to get a camera expert, and then we can...
That's it.
I'm sorry.
So, 2 weeks.
Yeah. If our committee meetings on that Monday, if he could come down, that'd be great.
We'll do that.
Well, I have a plan. We can just get away with all this if you want to do my plan.
Yes.
Look at the money we would save.
Well, in case nobody noticed that Dave goes way by his responsibility of just looking after the courthouse. And I'm very, very proud of him. And he communicates with me and Myron, and it's very good.
Game cameras, Matt.
What's that?
Game cameras. Check them once a week.
And turrets with bow hunters. I'm just saying.
That's all we have on the agenda. Does anybody else have anything? If not, meeting will be adjourned at 11 minutes after 10.